The title of my message this morning is His Mission, Our Mission. So as Pastor Stephen alluded to, we're building up to our missions, main missions day on the 23rd of August, where we have our big multicultural lunch, but also where we bring our offerings before God, that because this is where we're going to support those that are a lot less fortunate than we are in our mission projects around the world. And I will share a little bit of that a little bit later as I get to the end of my message. So His mission is our mission. One thing that I love about our church, C3 Fremantle, C3 Wellard, is that we have a focus outside our walls. You know, I've been part of churches where we had no missions program. We were good at building disciples in the church and running programs, but we didn't have any outward focus. We weren't looking beyond our walls. And that's one thing that I love about our church, and was one reason that really attracted to me to C3 was our focus and external missions. Just going to read a scripture in Matthew 28. And we all know the scripture as Christians. We'll know this hands down. I remember when any time a pastor would read this scripture out, I think, oh gosh, here he goes. He's on to the evangelism section here. We're all going to have to go out and we're going to have to knock on doors and share the gospel. And Jesus says here, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you even to the ends of the earth. So we are on a mission. We should be mission-minded. Now, are we all going to travel to overseas, to other countries? No, we're not. But our mission fields are where we work. Our mission fields are in our neighborhood. Our mission fields are people that we come across and we befriend and talk with. These are our mission fields. And our mission is to make disciples, to bring followers, to bring unconverted people to Jesus Christ, and then disciple them so that they can go out and do the same thing. It's the principle of reproduction. Now, did I always have a passion for missions? Growing up as a young Christian, I didn't really know too much about mission or missions. And I think the first church that I was involved in or got saved in, a missionary came, I think he was from Kenya, and he shared a little bit of what was happening in Kenya, and I thought, well, that's great, but I don't want to go to Kenya. Because someone had said to me, whatever you do, don't ask God to send you somewhere, because if you do that, He's going to send you to Outer Mongolia or to the Amazon jungle or something like that. And man, I don't think I'd be wanting to do that. Sounded a little bit too uncomfortable. So we took up an offering that day, I think, for him. And that was really my first even thought about missions. And our church, I think, at that time started to support him. A few years later, I was attending Bible school over here in Perth. I'd finished year one and had the Christmas holidays and a whole month where I could work full time, and it was really good. And I started in the second year of Bible school, and I was sitting there and I was saying, God, do you really want me here? I mean, I was just doubting because it's a lot easier when you're working full time and earning a full time pay than when you're at Bible school and you can only work part time in the afternoons. And there was always a bit of a struggle, and I was thinking, because it was so great, I had this extra money over the holiday period, anyway, I was just questioning God, and we had this speaker come, and he said, before he started speaking, he pointed to me and said, come forward, and I came forward, and he said that that God has called you into mission, and that you're going to find yourself in foreign soils. And then he said that as you sit in this Bible school for this year, and that's what, so there was two parts. There was one that God had called me into a mission, and also that I should be at the Bible school really for the year. So it was great how God confirmed that. And a couple of years later, I went on my first mission trip with my wife Angela, who is not here this morning. I've got my daughter who's here to support me. Hannah, she's doing a great job. And my first mission trip. And it was to Malaysia. The pastor, the church that I was going to, he had a sister living in Malaysia in a town. And I was to go there and be part of helping her for about 6 weeks. And Andrew and I, we were all excited. Yes, this was going to be fantastic. I was just out of Bible school. And I remember getting out of the airport at Kuala Lumpur, and the heat hit me, and the smells hit me, and I was thinking to myself, my God, how are we going to stay here for 6 weeks? We'd committed to do this. And then there was the experience of where's the toilets? Oh, you have to squat. There's no toilet to sit on. And where's the shower? We have to use a bucket to bucket yourself, and then soap, and then bucket over again. And then we're in this town, and we're staying with this pastor and her elderly mother. They're Indians. The mother didn't speak very little English. The food, we ate it with our hands. So this was all new to us. We were right out of our comfort zone. And the times where I remember going out one night and turning on a light and just seeing cockroaches running everywhere. I thought, I won't tell Angela that there were all these cockroaches everywhere. And then the first time I got to preach, I preached my heart out for 10 minutes. That's all we ever did at Bible school anyway. And because it was in Tamil, we'd just had the service, and I couldn't understand a song they sung because it was all in Tamil. And I preached, and of course she and the other pastor interpreted, and I said, oh, I'm finished. She said, is that all you've got? And I felt so deflated. But anyway, God was gracious, and he worked with us, and by the end of the trip, I'd grown quite a bit. But that was really my first foray, I suppose, into missions, and I've had the fortunate to be able to travel to India once with my wife's brother, and in the last church we're in New Zealand. I went to Uganda a couple of times as well. So God has opened up doors at the right times. So I'm really blessed, really, to be looking after missions at C3. Fremantle and Wellard, and I have been to Liberia twice and Sierra Leone last year. And you don't realize until you actually visit another country to how fortunate we are here. It is very, very tough for the people there. So I'm just so grateful that we're able to help out. My first point this morning is God's heart is for people. God's heart is for people. You know, just even in that promo clip, love God, love people. Love God, love people. And that's what we're doing. When we step out and when we start to work on a project or work with a church in another nation, we're loving those people because we love God. In John 3:16, these are our scriptures. I've just jotted a few scriptures down, and we know these scriptures well. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. You know, this is one of the reasons that I'm a Christian, because someone shared the gospel with me, shared the good news with me. That God, at that time before I became a Christian, I didn't know that God loved me. I didn't know that God had a plan for me. I didn't know that God had a purpose for me at all until someone shared the gospel with me, and I'm eternally grateful for that. God so loved you. God loves you with an everlasting love. 2 Peter 3 verse 9. says, "For the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." God doesn't want any to perish. He wants this world to be saved. He wants people to make the decision and make the choice to come to him. You know, some people have said, well, if God could have forced us all to do that, he could have. He could have taken our free will and made us robots, and we would have all loved God because that's what we would know to do. But God wants to give us the choice. We can choose, or we can choose to reject, or we can choose to accept him. God created us to have a fellowship, to have relationship. Ephesians 2 verse 5. Man, the time's flying. Ephesians 2. Find Ephesians 2. Oh, it's up there. "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us." God, who's rich in mercy because of his great love. He loves us so much. He is for you. He is not against you. Point two, that Jesus is the only remedy for the world. Jesus is only the only remedy. In John 14:6, Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So Jesus is the only way to the Father. A lot of people say there's many ways to get to heaven. There's many ways to find God. There's only one way, and that's Jesus Christ. He's the only way. He's the only way. In John 9, verse 5, Jesus says, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." And if we just parallel and flick straight to Matthew 5 verses 14 to 16. It says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on the hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lampstand and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." So Jesus is the light of the world. If we have Christ in our lives, he shouldn't be hidden. He should be seen. Christ should be seen in our lives. We should be a light to the darkness that is around about us. When Jesus was walking on this earth, the blind were healed, the deaf heard, the demonics were delivered. The dead were raised. And Jesus has commissioned us to do that now in our lives. He showed us what to do. So he's the remedy for this world. So what can we do? What can we do? Well, Matthew 22:37 says, we're to love God and love our neighbors. Love God, love people. So that's one aspect we can love, but I believe we've got to put some faith to our love. I can tell someone I love someone. I can tell my wife I love her. But if I don't put any real action to it, all it is really words. In Proverbs 19, verse 17, in the New Living Translation, it says, "If you help the poor, you are lending to the Lord, and he will repay you." So one way we can help by loving is by giving. If I'm loving God, I can give as well. In James 2, verses 14 to 16, I love this piece here. Verse 14 says, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says to you, he has faith but does not have works, can faith save him? If a brother or a sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warm, be filled, we'll pray for you, you'll be all right. Is there any faith to our actions? All we're doing is, and I've done it myself numbers of times, it's like a Christian, oh, well, praying for you, brother. I'm praying for you. But if I've known that there was a need and I could help fill that need, that would be me putting faith into action. Right. Putting faith into action. I suppose the buck stops there, really. Now, over the next coming couple of weeks, we've got next week, and then on the 23rd, we're having our Leap into Spring offering. So there's cards on your seats. And what I encourage you to do is take them home with you tonight. And just pray about it. Take them home today. And just pray about it over the next couple of weeks. And just see what God would want you to do. This is a faith pledge. So it's not like I'm going to have to give all this money at once. It's over a whole year. Just in the front of the card, it says, "What can I give?" So what do I feel comfortable giving? What could I give up so I could give? And what could I believe God for? What could I put my faith to believing God for that I could be able to help in this missions program? So those are, so just, I'd encourage you to take that home tonight, today, and just pray over it, and just see what God says to do. My closing scripture is found in Philippians, and I just really want to encourage you with this scripture, really. Paul had been on a number of mission journeys, and I just want to read from Philippians chapter 4, verse 10. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, now that at last your care for me has flourished. So the church there in Philippi, thanks, Hannah. I knew I had you here for a reason. Now, I said that last week in the offering, and it was, went, no, Philippi. Anyway, I rejoice greatly in the Lord greatly. Now that I at least care for me, your care for me has flourished again. Though surely you did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I've learned in whatever state I'm in to be content. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. And that's really what happens over in Sierra Leone and Liberia and even in the Philippines. You know, they learn how to get by. They don't have much. They learn how to get by. But everywhere and in all things I've learned to both be full and to be hungry, to both abound and to suffer need. But in all this I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you may have done well that you shared in my distress. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but that I seek the fruit that would abound into your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, receiving from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And this is the promise. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Paul's saying to them, you've supported me. You've supported me in my mission journeys. You've supported me when I was in Thessalonica. You've supported me. And my God shall supply all your need. My God shall supply all that you need. And I just want to speak that over you today, that God's our source.